Turn with me, please, in the Old Testament to the book of Ezekiel. Book of Ezekiel in the chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, and we will read from verse number 7, just read a few verses this evening before we come to the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter 33 and the verse 7. Here the Lord is speaking himself to his servant, the prophet Ezekiel, and he says, "So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, and if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Amen. We'll end there at verse number 11. And it is the words of verse 11 that we want to take as our text for tonight. The Lord says, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" I want to speak tonight on the subject of God's gospel plea. Let's just see God's face again in a word of prayer. And let's all pray together that the Lord would come and bless his word tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for thy presence with us already. We thank thee, O God, tonight that we've been brought to the cross. We thank thee, Lord, for the ministry and song. Bless David, we pray. Continue to use him, Lord, as he goes round the various places preaching and singing thy word. Encourage him, O God. Bless him, Lord, tonight in his own life. We pray, Lord, now that as we come to the word of God, as we, Lord, come to these most solemn of words tonight, we ask, O God, for the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Speak to every heart tonight, we pray. O God, beyond the voice of this preacher, may we hear the voice of God. Encourage us tonight. We pray, Lord, tonight you'll challenge every unconverted. Lord, try the hearts tonight. Only, Lord, you know the heart of everyone. O God, we can look on the outward appearance, but God looks in the heart. Therefore, God, tonight, try the hearts. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that each one might make their calling and their election sure. And tonight, for those who are still out of Christ, Lord, tonight we pray you'll save them. Bring them to thyself. Make this a blessed night. Make this a soul-saving meeting, we pray. Make this a night when sinners will start for heaven and for home. Bless us, we pray now, as we come to the Word of God. Encourage us, Lord. Refresh us. Use us. Empower us, Lord, to preach. And give us help to hear. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen. The task that lay before the prophet Ezekiel was immense. He was called to minister to a people who were most rebellious and were most stubborn. He had to rebuke them for their sin. He had to challenge them and he had to expose them for the way they were living. He was to be God's spokesman. And while initially Ezekiel was called to be a priest, yet God called him from the priestly role to this prophetic office to proclaim God's message to a wayward and to a rebellious people. We won't take time to look at it tonight, but in Ezekiel chapter 2, the Lord comes to Ezekiel and he says to him that I will send you to a rebellious nation. He says, I'll send you to an impotent people, to a stiff-necked generation. And he uses those words that have often been an encouragement to my own life personally. In verse number 5 of Ezekiel chapter 2, when he says that whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, Yet Ezekiel was to preach and to proclaim that same message. In other words, the Lord said to Ezekiel, whether the people heed your message or whether they disregard your message, it makes no difference. You are still to proclaim that message that I want to give. He repeats that call and that commission here in Ezekiel chapter 33. And he's dealing here with the subject of the watchman, those who would stand guard in the city walls and watch for the attack of the enemy. And he compares the city watchman to those who would watch and wait for souls in the work of God. And he says there in verse 7, that opening verse that we read, he says, I have set thee a watchman. Here is his divine appointment to this role. Ezekiel was divinely appointed to be God's spokesman. He didn't take this upon himself. Rather, God called him to it. And it was the call of God in his life to this role that kept him at the task. He was also to be attentive. We read in verse number 7, therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. He was to be in touch with God. He was not only to proclaim God's word, but he was more specifically to proclaim God's message that he would give. And then at the end of verse 7, we see that he was to sound the alarm. He says, and warn them from me. Here's what every faithful preacher of the gospel must do. Warn sinners of their impending doom, of the dreadful and the fearful situation that they are in their sin out of Christ and bound for a lost eternity. You see, these were not the words from Ezekiel. These were the words from God because he says, warn them from me. Ezekiel, as he ministered to this impudent generation, as he ministered to this stiff-necked people, he came with the words of God to them. And it is that part of that message that we want to consider this evening in the gospel that we have recorded for us there in verse number 11. Where the Lord says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? You see, here was God's appeal to the ungodly. Here was God's appeal to the hard-hearted people at that time. Here was God's appeal to a rebellious generation. He says to them, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And on the basis of his mercy, he pleads with them, turn. Saved. And tonight, the word that I have to bring to you this evening is not a word from this preacher or a word from my lips. It is a word from Almighty God. Here, Almighty God comes to you tonight and he pleads with you and he calls you and he says to you, will you turn? Will you turn from your evil, wicked, sinful ways tonight and live? Listen tonight, if you will not listen to this preacher, if you will not listen to anything this preacher has to say, will you listen tonight to what Almighty God has to say? I'm merely God's messenger. This is God's message. This is God's gospel plea to you tonight. Here is his invitation in the gospel. Here is his appeal to you tonight to be saved. Think of it. The Almighty God of heaven and earth, the creator of this world, the controller of this world, he appeals to you tonight personally, individually. Will you turn? Will you be saved? As we think of this gospel appeal and plea tonight from Almighty God, I want you to see from verse 11, first of all, we see God's sympathy. Notice those words at the beginning of verse 11. He says, I have no pleasure. Notice those words very carefully. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You see, here God answers the perception that there was about him amongst the people, as we read there in verse number 10. The people believed they were in a hopeless situation, that they were pining away from in their sin. And they seemed to be without hope. And how then should we live, was the question at the end of verse 10. You see, it was as if they were accusing God of being uncaring, of being inconsiderate, of lacking compassion and love toward them. It was as if they accused God of having no sympathy for their plight. You see, they thought that God would be glad to damn them. How then should we live? God's not really interested in us. He doesn't care whether we live or die, was the charge. All hope, as far as they were concerned, was gone, was over. They were charging God with indifference and ignorance concerning their plight. It was as if God was someone without meaning. And society hasn't changed. Society is still the same today. To many, God is a meaningless irrelevance to so many, that God isn't interested in this society. God isn't interested in this generation. That God is some remote being in heaven, uncaring. Oh, when natural disasters occur across this world, who's the first person to get the blame? God. When things happen, where is your God in all of this? The statement in many ways is a repetition of very similar words in Ezekiel chapter 18. And the verse 23, he asks the question there, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? And again, the Lord is answering the wrong notions and the wrong perceptions there of him. It's as if in chapter 18, in the verse 23, that he was surprised at this charge being laid against him. And so he asked the question, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? And then at the end of that chapter, in chapter 18, in the verse 32, he says, for I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. These are wonderful words tonight from the mouth of Almighty God. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And he repeats it again in the words of our text tonight, back over in Ezekiel 33 in the verse 11. I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Here's a God of holiness, a God of justice. But here is a God of love and a God of mercy. He says, I have no pleasure in the souls of men and women being damned in hell. Why? Because he knows exactly what that means. Almighty God knows exactly what it is for a soul to be lost in hell. Why? Because it's God's hell. It was hell created for the devil and his angels and for all those who turn away from God. He knows exactly the fate that lies ahead of those who die in their sin, and he says, I have no pleasure in that. No pleasure in it. We read in the little book of Peter that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's long suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You see, tonight God is slow to wrath and to anger. You read the dealings with God and to a rebellious people, and how slow he is to wrath. You think away back there in the book of Genesis, the third chapter, and Adam and Eve falling into sin. Rather than coming running in judgment and damning them right away, what do we read? He came walking in the cool of the evening. He took no pleasure in damning. He came walking. For 120 years he pleaded with the people of Noah's generation. He was long-suffering to a rebellious and to a wayward people. And can I say to you tonight, dear sinner in this meeting, God takes no pleasure in your damnation. Why do I know that? Because if he did, he would have damned you long ago. He takes no pleasure in damnation. Contrary to popular belief tonight, God is not waiting and wanting to damn sinners. But I tell you what he does take pleasure in. He takes pleasure in salvation. You say, how do you know that? Will you compare the words of Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, to the words of Isaiah 53 and verse 10. What's it say there? Pleased the Lord to bruise him. Now contrast that, and there's a very stark contrast. God doesn't take pleasure in damnation, but it pleased the Lord to bruise his son. Why? That through the death and the blood shedding of his son on the cross, that a way to God would be opened up. He took pleasure in salvation. He knew that it took the death of his son on the cross to open up the way to God, that sins could be forgiven, that you could be pardoned. That's what God took pleasure in, providing his son, giving him to be your Savior. The blood of Jesus Christ being the only way that sins could be forgiven and remitted. The only way that you sinner can be saved from the damnation of hell and the judgment of God upon you. Why? Because he's a God who delighteth in salvation. We were singing that hymn this evening, who is a pardoning God like thee? We find that in the little prophecy of Micah chapter 7, the verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity? Do you know what it says at the end of that verse? And delighteth in mercy. God delights in mercy tonight because he provided his son. He emptied heaven of his only begotten son that you might be saved and that you might go to heaven. God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And can I say something here just as a side? Neither should we. Neither should we. I have to be honest and say it does grieve me when I hear people talking about those who have died, and most certainly, probably, they've died in their sin. And it's almost as if they're delighting. Oh, if only we knew what awaits those who die in their sin, we would not be rubbing our hands in glee, but rather it should break our hearts. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but he has pleasure in salvation because it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to bruise his son. Why? That through his son the sinner can be saved and redeemed and pardoned from their sin. He delighteth in mercy, thank God tonight, for that truth. In the second place, I want you to see with me here as well, God's sincerity. Because in many ways, this verse continues on with this same thought. He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. And then, turn ye Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? You see, because God is tender, loving, merciful, because he delights in mercy, because it pleased the Lord to bruise his Son on the cross that you and I might be saved, therefore on the basis of that, he sincerely pleads with your soul tonight, will you turn from your sin and will you live? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but I have pleasure when the wicked turn from their sin and live. Here we see the heart of God laid bare, I believe. Here he is sincere in what he has to say. He says, I'm pleased when the sinner abandons their evil ways, leaves their sin, turns from their sin, repents of their sin. Here's the sincerity of God. This is not just some bland, cold statement that he's making here. This is sincere, genuine, heartfelt plea from Almighty God tonight. And he says to you this evening, turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die? Tonight he is sincere in this invitation. Tonight he is genuine in this call to you to be saved and to leave your sin. And he repeats it again, turn, turn. What were the first words of Christ during his earthly ministry? Repent. What is repentance? It's turning. It's an about turn. It's turning away from your sin. And it's a turning to God in salvation through Christ. As we've said in the past, the easy bit, if we want to put it like that, is the believing. But as we pointed out a few weeks ago, even the devils believe and tremble. But sinner, there's something more to conversion. There's something more to regeneration than mere faith, or important and essential though that be. There is repentance. There is a turning. There is an abandoning of sin. There's a realizing that you are a sinner, and there's a leaving that sin. And that's important, that's essential. And tonight the Lord pleads with you sincerely. He says, turn. Turn. You see, this is not just some take it or leave it situation. He's not just simply saying, well, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Turn if you want. Turn if you will. No, he's sincere here. Why? Because he knows if there is no repentance from sin, if there is no faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then what awaits you is damnation. His justice demands it. He's passionate, he's intense here in his pleading with the sinner. Will you turn from your sin? Not for the good of your health, but for the salvation of your eternal, never dying soul. He says, if you're ever going to be saved, if you're ever going to be in heaven, if you're ever going to escape the flames and the wrath of God in hell, then turn and repent and run to Christ in salvation. If you were to see someone in great danger, perhaps someone in danger of dying, maybe they were drowning, you see a lifeguard going out, and they get within hand's reach of that person who's going under very, very quickly. And the guard calls out to the person that's drowning, just reach out. He's not just going to say, well, just you reach out when you can. He's going to be passionate and intense in his pleading. Reach out, your life depends upon it. And tonight the Lord says to you, turn. Turn from your sin because the destiny of your eternal soul depends upon it. Your life depends upon it tonight. And so with sincerity, God pleads with you tonight, turn from your sin. And you know, in every appeal that God makes to the sinner, he is sincere. When through the words of Isaiah the prophet, he said, come now and let us reason together, he was sincere. Again to a rebellious people. When he says, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy. He says what he says with sincerity. When he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest, he says it with sincerity. And sinner, tonight the Lord is sincere in his pleadings with you to be saved. People in that little room tonight have been sincere and they're praying for you that you would be saved. I am sincere every time I get into this pulpit, as God is my witness, in my pleadings with you tonight to be saved. Why? Because we know the only way that your sins can be forgiven is through Christ. And so every time the Lord issues that invitation, he is sincere. Come. Come. Four letters in our English alphabet that make up the greatest of gospel words. Come. Come. Tonight, we echo the words of Almighty God with sincerity. With honesty before you tonight, we plead with you, will you come? Will you turn from your sin and will you come to Jesus Christ? He doesn't want to see you perish. Tonight, the Savior wants to redeem you, save you. Finally, as we close tonight, we see solemnity. Because he says at the end of verse 11, for why will you die? Why will you die? Oh, what solemnity tonight there is in those few little words. Why will you die? He's not speaking here about physical death, but rather eternal death. Dying. But even worse than that, dying in your sin. Dying without Christ. Dying without hope. Dying lost. What a solemn reality tonight. Not only death, but death where there is no hope beyond the grave. Death when there has been no repentance. Death when there is no salvation. Dying in your sins. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, Christ has been reasoning and discussing with the Pharisees, that self-righteous group of people. And he'd been declaring unto them how that he was the light of the world, and they were scoffing and they were mocking. And he comes back to them with some of the most solemn words that any man could ever hear. He says, I go my way. I go my way. He's talking about going back to heaven. And ye shall seek me. And shall die in your sins. He says, I'm returning back to my Father in heaven. And you'll seek me, but you'll die in your sins because you're not willing to abandon your sin and come to Jesus Christ. How do you die in your sins? We don't have time to look at this, but let me very quickly, John chapter 8, the verse 22, they mocked Christ. They had contempt for Christ. Verse 23, there's condemnation from Christ. He says, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. And he says again, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. How do you die in your sins? Just continue on the way you are. Just live life as if Christ didn't die on the cross. Just live life as if God didn't matter. Just live life as if Christ was some irrelevance to your life. Just continue on the way you are, and you'll die in your sins. That's the solemnity of it all tonight. Die in your sins, you'll never see heaven. Die in your sins, heaven will be barred to you. Die in your sins, you'll never see those loved ones that have gone on before who died not in their sins, but who died in Christ and right now are rejoicing with the saints in heaven. You'll never see them. Die in your sins and you'll be tormented in hell's flames and fire for all eternity. Die in your sins. There's no way back. What a solemn thought tonight. You ever stop to think about it? You ever stop to think where you will be 5 minutes after you die? Have you? As we bring this gospel meeting to a conclusion tonight, I want you to stop. And I want you to ponder this. Where will you be in death? If God were to come now, right into this very congregation, right into this very church, take breath from your body, where would you be? Be honest with Almighty God tonight. Where will you be 5 minutes after you die? God has provided His Son in salvation. God has provided the way that your sins can be forgiven. He's made all the provision that is necessary for life and for living, for pardon and for peace. Tonight, there is a way that your sins can be forgiven. There is a way tonight that you can be pardoned. There is a way tonight that you can be assured of heaven, and it's by turning from your sin, leaving your sin, and staking your all on Jesus Christ. Faith, turning, trusting. Therefore, on the basis of all that, we ask the question then, why? Why will you die? Why will you go out into a lost eternity, turning your back on God's salvation? He says, turn ye from your evil ways. He sets before you tonight the way to peace and the way to God. You need not perish tonight. You need not die in your sins tonight. Because God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He provided His Son to be your Savior. His Son gave His life, shed His blood, that you might be saved. All that is needed tonight for the forgiveness and the pardon of your sin is provided. You need nothing more. Therefore, why? Why will you die? Sinner, tonight, why will you leave this meeting tonight still out of Christ? Why will you go out into the darkness and the blackness of another night, still on your way to a lost eternity? Why will you tonight turn away from Christ and His offer of salvation? Why will you tonight continue on in your life as if God doesn't matter, as if it didn't matter that Christ died and gave His life? Why? Why? Or will you not tonight turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ? He says, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would turn from their evil ways and live. Turn ye. Will you do that tonight? Will you come to the cross where Jesus Christ gave His life, shed His blood? For why will you die? The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light. The way of the cross I miss. You miss the cross tonight. You miss Christ tonight. You miss heaven. Therefore tonight, turn from your sin. Bring your sin to Christ. He'll pardon, cleanse you, set you free. Why will you die? Let's close in prayer. I say to you again tonight that this message has not been a message from this preacher. And that message that Ezekiel had to proclaim all those many years ago, it wasn't a message from him either. It was a message from God. And tonight the Lord is saying to your heart, He said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And then He appeals and He pleads. He's pleading personally with you tonight. He says, turn ye from your evil ways. For why? Why will you die? Why will you die in your sins when God has provided His Son and salvation? Why will you die? Sinner, tonight come and live. Come to Jesus Christ and live. If you have a concern spiritually, there are matters that you want to put right with God tonight, then make those known to us. You realize tonight that you're still in your sins, and if you were to die in your sins, heaven you'll never see. Tonight the Lord, by His Holy Spirit, is striving, speaking to your heart. Come. Turn from sin and come to Christ. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, this evening we thank Thee for this plea and appeal from Thy great Son and Almighty God Himself. And O God, we pray that tonight You will be pleased to do Thine own work. We pray, Lord, that tonight You will be pleased to speak, strive, and most of all, we pray You be pleased to save. Lord, this evening we pray that You'll awaken sinners out of the dreadful situation that they're in. Lord, that this night You would bring them to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. Oh God, we pray that tonight no one will leave this meeting still in their sin. And if there be those who have come into this place out of Christ, pray, Lord, tonight, by the help and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they will leave this place on their way to heaven with the assurance of their sins forgiven. Oh, speak on tonight, we pray. Speak on while the voice of man falls silent. May that still, small voice of God strive. Bring the lost to Thyself. Lord, we pray that tonight You be pleased. Pleased to save the lost. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that You do delight in mercy. We thank Thee, Lord, tonight that it pleased the Father to bruise the Son, that we, the sinner, might be saved. Save, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask.